I start each session with thoughts of goodwill, reminding yourself of why you're here and the fact that the happiness you're looking for while you're here is harmless, because that's what goodwill is all about. May all beings find happiness in a harmless way. And of course, that means finding happiness in a way that doesn't have to take anything away from anyone else. In other words, each of us has to find happiness within. And that's why we're here meditating. So you might say in that way, the fact that you're not paying attention to anyone else right now is a very responsible thing. Because the happiness you try to gain otherwise is going to take something away from somebody else. Or if you go to the other wrong extreme of self-torture, trying to find some satisfaction out of that, you're not going to find true happiness. And as we've seen many times, people go back and forth between these extremes. They're very self-denying, and then finally they snap, and then they head off in the other direction, get very indulgent. And then they seem the harm of indulgence. They go back to being self-denying, back and forth. Nothing gets accomplished this way. And both forms of looking for happiness are irresponsible. Responsible thing is to come in and see what resources you have here that can be developed into happiness, a genuine happiness. And as the Buddha said in one spot, the most important of the factors of the right path is right view. And another part, he says that the most important is right concentration. So you need both. And everything else serves those two factors. The right view here is just that, reminding yourself that if you're going to find true happiness, it has to come within, because the sources of suffering come from within. We suffer not because of unpleasant things happening to us, but from how we shape our experience of those unpleasant things, or pleasant things, as the case may be. Which means that we need some internal skills. That's what the right concentration is about. As you focus on the breath, try to bring your focus to a nice, steady spot. And John Lee's image is of a post standing at the edge of the sea. The sea rises, but the post doesn't rise with the sea. The sea ebbs, but the post doesn't go out with the sea. It stays right there. The trick here, though, is to make sure that that steady spot is comfortable. If you clamp down too hard, it's going to put too much pressure on your nerves, too much pressure on the blood vessels in that part of the body. And you find that the concentration has some bad side effects. It can create weird sensations in the different parts of the body, as the blockage right here leads to problems elsewhere. So again, the image that the water can flow around the post, but you keep your awareness steady. With an element of interest. There's going to be something to watch here. There's something going to be interesting is going to appear here. So have that element of interest to see what's actually going on. And if you find any tension or blockage building up here, think of it relaxing. And then think of that relaxation spreading out from this spot through all the energy channels in the body, through all the nerves in the body. Another image from John Lee. This is like medicine. And it's the mindfulness and alertness. Those are the actual medicines. That's the quality of your attention right now. That's what's going to be healing, both for the body and for the mind. The breath helps to spread it. His image is of a medicine that's put into a solvent, so it spreads throughout the body. So the breath is the solvent, and then the attention, still, alert, mindful. That's the actual medicine. Because when you apply that kind of alertness to any sense of blockage in the body, it helps to untangle it. The reason these blockages build up is because we're not paying attention. Our attention is off someplace else. And so we miss a lot of what's going on right here, right now, in the body. And in all the connections between the body and the mind. And so as you focus on the breath, whatever spot you found in the body, keep in mind that you want the breath to be comfortable. You want the energy in that spot to be comfortable. The sense of flow to be unobstructed. And the results in the body help you to gauge how skillfully you're focusing the mind. In the beginning, it's hard to tell the two apart. When there's a sense of focus, there's going to be there's a whole set of physical symptoms around the focus. But with time, you begin to see that they are separate. So that if you're focusing, say, on the nose or in the middle of the head, a sense of pressure that might build up around that focus is not necessary. Try to think of whatever escape routes there may be to allow that pressure to deflate a little bit so it's not so heavy, not too oppressive. Out the top of the head, down the spine, out the hands, out the feet, wherever. Down the front of the throat. You find where your escape routes are. Use some imagination. Because we've all been developing different ways of maintaining focus in the body. Using different physical symptoms as a sign that the focus is staying there, or as a reminder to stay at that spot. And if you find that some of those symptoms are unpleasant, you have to learn how to let them go and yet maintain your focus. And so the flow of the energy there is a good way of gauging whether you're doing this skillfully or not. Then once you've developed that skill in being focused and at ease at the same time, alert, attentive, interested, now just that quality of still awareness can allow things to allow patterns of tension to dissolve away, allow blockages to be opened up. Then you can bring that attention to different parts of the body. Around the navel, middle of the chest, the back of the neck, wherever. And again, it's the steadiness and quality of your awareness. That's the medicine in each of these cases. And the breath is the solvent that allows the effects of that medicine to spread through different parts of the body. This is an important skill, learning how to stay focused in a way that's healing. Because that's what the Buddhist teachings are all about. That's what the Four Noble Truths are all about. They're like a doctor's prescription. What's the illness? Where does it come from? Cure the illness by focusing on the cause. Everything he taught was meant to be healing. The means to happiness is blameless. So if you start feeling guilty about practicing concentration, remind yourself, this is a blameless pleasure. And the dangers of jhana are very mild, minor and mild. You might start getting lazy in your other activities. So that is something to watch out for. And you might start getting lazy about the idea of using the jhana or using your concentration in order to develop deeper insight. You might say, hey, this is good enough right where it is and just want to stay right there. The problem, of course, is that it won't last. If the jhana is, or the concentration is not supported by right view, it begins to fall apart, and then it can actually strengthen wrong views if you're not careful. Some people hit state of concentration and they decide, ah, from now on in I don't need to watch out after my actions because I found the truth or whatever. But the problem there is not with the concentration, the problem is with the views that you bring into it. Thinking that it's going to do all the work for you, or that it's all you need to do. So the danger is not with the concentration, the danger is in not having the concentration. The danger is in the wrong views that you might bring to the concentration. We hear so much about the dangers of concentration, but the dangers of not having it are a lot stronger. Because if you don't have this pleasure to tap into, you're going to be looking for pleasure in other ways. Which can often be quite harmful. After all, as the Buddha once said, even though you may see the drawbacks of sensual pleasures, if you don't have this kind of pleasure to tap into, you're going to keep going back to your old sensual pleasures. And if you go back to them with denial, that just complicates the issue. People steal, they kill, have illicit sex, lie, speak divisively, speak coarsely, use intoxicants, not because of their ability to access the pleasure of concentration, but because they don't have that ability. And they go looking around for sensual pleasures. People engage in self-torment, and then they get very censorious and very strict with other people for not torturing themselves or tormenting themselves. Or as we see with a lot of Buddhist scholars, they don't have the concentration, so they try to say, well, it's self-indulgent, it's not necessary. Insight has to be strict and self-denying. So that becomes harmful as well. It turns into a lot of wrong view. So the dangers of not having concentration are much greater than the dangers of getting stuck on concentration. And again, the stuckness is not so much in the concentration itself, it's in your views around it. As long as you're very clear that this is a path, it has to be combined with other factors of the path, including right effort, right speech, right action, right resolve. Then it's all perfectly safe. Especially when you have this ability to read the quality of your concentration. Read how it affects the breath and the energy in the body. To make sure that it feels balanced, at ease, healthy. Then your concentration is self-correcting because it's got right view built into it. Because it's the kind of concentration that listens and notices. It's based on interest. Citta is one of the factors of, it's one of the bases for success. And it has to be present in all states of right concentration, whether it's the one that you're emphasizing or not. It's got to be there. Paying close attention to what you're doing and noticing where you're adding unnecessary stress and then learning how to stop doing the things that are causing that unnecessary stress. Even if it's just on the level of the breath, it's an application of the Four Noble Truths. So this interest, in a way you might say, it's listening to what the body needs. As you focus on that one spot, it's like you ask, what do you need, stomach? What kind of breath energy would feel good right here? Then you move to the chest. What do you need, chest? What breath energy would feel good right here? Just pose that question and try to maintain that steady awareness to watch. And as you learn how to balance the force of your concentration with the sense of well-being and the energy of the body, you find that a lot of the elements of the path come into a balanced relationship. And that they are healing. That's when you know when you're doing it right. So in this way you get all the different parts of the body. Give them all a chance to tell you what they need. Because a lot of the energy flow in the body is related to different issues in the mind, you'll find that parts of the mind that tended to not have their voice before, they start having their voice as well. You allow them to get healed as well. All this just with focusing on the breath. This is your medicine, steady awareness combined with interest, monitoring the breath, a source of happiness that harms no one. It's healing to the mind. When the mind has been healed in this way, or even as it is healing, you find that your relationships with other people are a lot less stressed out. You're putting a lot less pressure on them, a lot less pressure on yourself. So again, this is a responsible way of looking for happiness. So don't believe those voices in the mind that say you're being irresponsible as you stay here, or as you focus attention on your own mind. You're focusing attention on a source of happiness that doesn't harm anybody. And that's a noble pursuit right there.